taught a lesson on prayer. That second song, the congregational song we sung, that sweet hour of prayer, that end of the second or third verse, farewell, farewell. I can't wait until I don't have to pray anymore.
Right.
I get to talk to Jesus face to face.
Yeah. Be good.
Yes.
Yeah, be good.
All right, before we get started, is everybody ready? Everybody done? All right, well, if you got your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Pray for me. I know my feeble words, it's impossible for them to bring glory to God, but His Word is what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to give you a title to the message, and the title is Excellent Things.
Good.
Excellent Things.
Yeah.
You know, so many things in our lives that we focus on, if we slow down and think about them, are they really what's important? Or do we need to talk about what's right here in Philippians chapter 1? I'm going to look at verse 1 and 2 first, but that's not really the message. I want you to know who this writing is coming from. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul and Timothy, writing back to a church that Paul had started, no doubt there in Philippi. He was writing a letter to commend them and to check on them. But I want you to look, starting down in verse 9, he's going to reveal what his prayer was for this people. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for today. I thank you for letting me stand behind this pulpit.
Yes, yes.
Lord, I pray that you'd please give me clarity of thought and clarity of mind that I could deliver the words you once said here tonight.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that you help us all to put these words to use in our lives. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they would pay a special attention, Lord, that they would see the need to get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray for Jared as he preaches, and I pray for Austin as he preaches elsewhere as well. Lord, I pray that you lift them up, give them power to preach, and we thank you for all that you do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Look back at verse number 10 there. It says, that ye may approve things that are excellent.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. If we focus on the right things, it's going to make us true. It's going to make us right. It's going to make us sincere without offense till the day of Christ. This is Paul's prayer for his people. Well, notice what the preacher desired for the people he ministered to. Was his thoughts that they were all healthy? Were his thoughts for happiness, that they were happy?
No.
No. Did he wish that his people were famous, well known?
No.
No. Did he wish that they had fortunes?
No.
Was his prayer that they had the prominence, that they were well known? No. He wanted them to love knowledge and wisdom more and more.
Right.
If we look in Proverbs at a couple of verses real quick, Proverbs chapter 8, the book of Proverbs, for those of you taking the Bible class, quick review, what is the key word for the book of Proverbs? Wisdom. Very good. Somebody over here is getting an A on the test, right? Wisdom is the key word in Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." This is Solomon writing in the book of Proverbs, but who really wrote the book of Proverbs along with the rest of the Bible? Who wrote it? God wrote it. God says here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Whose lips is it talking about? It's His lips, God's lips. He says, I'm going to speak of excellent things. Listen, Proverbs 22:20. Have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Where did He write us excellent things? In His Word that we can hold right here and read any time. Well, Paul's desire for his people at this church in Philippi was he wanted them to choose the excellent things for their lives. He wanted them to be filled with fruits of righteousness. And why? It's so that they can bring glory to God. What's our job here on earth? What are we to do? We're to bring glory to God. Well, these are similar to our prayers for you. I'm sure preacher prays these very things. I pray these very things for you. When I pray for you, I'm not asking God for you to be rich.
Right.
I'm sorry. Preacher, no, you're not praying for us to be rich. I'm not praying that you're physically fit, a great athlete. I'm not praying for those things. I'm not praying for you to be popular. No. All these things are fine. Is anything wrong with those things? No. But they need to be in their place. It's not what we should put our emphasis on. Matthew 6:33, we all know that, says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, my prayer for you, and I'm sure it's preacher's prayer for you, is that you grow for God.
Yes.
Learn more. Make good decisions. And for you to end up being and doing something for God.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to give an example of our church being like a football team. You know, everybody, football is not an individual sport. If you've got one great player, how much of a difference can he make? He's not going to. If you had the best offensive lineman in the world, what's that going to matter if you don't have anybody else to go with him?
Right.
Nothing. Well, if you want the team to improve, who has to improve? Everybody? Well, just if preacher gets better, the team's going to be better. If the quarterback right here gets better, that's going to make the whole team better, right? A little bit. Is that going to make the team good? No. Somebody's got to catch it. Well, the next important position on a football team is the wide receivers. What if they get better and the quarterback gets better? Is that guarantee that they're going to be a great team? If just the leaders of the church are excellent, does that make the church a great church? Does that strengthen the church? It helps a little. It helps some. But what if the defense is great and the offense isn't? What if we stand true on the things we believe in, but there's no outreach, there's no offense, there's no winning? Last time I checked in football, what does it take to win? Points, right? I've got to score a point, at least. Defense, you can hold the score down, but you're going to have to score some points to win. So if our team is going to be great, which one of us needs to improve?
All of us.
Just the starting 22?
No,
all of us. What happens if somebody goes down? Can't do their job for a little bit. Have to have backups.
Right.
You're going to lose if they ain't no good.
That's right. Good.
Yeah. Our whole church has to improve. Well, to improve our church, everyone has to grow.
Right.
To do this, we're going to have to focus on excellent things.
Yeah, that's good.
On excellent things. Now, I'm not real smart, so I'm going to look up these words in the dictionary here just to make sure that they're what I think they are. Well, excellent. I looked it up in the 1828 Webster Dictionary, and it says, being of great virtue or worth, eminent or distinguished for what is amiable, valuable, and laudable, as an excellent man or citizen, an excellent judge or magistrate. Being of great value or use, applied to things, remarkable for good properties, such as excellent timber, an excellent farm, an excellent horse, or excellent fruit. The next meaning says, distinguished for superior attainments, as an excellent artist. Number 3, it says, consummate and complete. So that's what the definition of excellent is. It's a superlative. It's great. It's of great value or use.
Yeah.
Then I looked up thing. Everybody knows what a thing is, right?
Yeah.
Well, we might not fully realize it, but it says the first definition of the word thing is an event or action. If I was going to say what the first definition of a thing is, it's an object, right? But that's not what it says. It says an event or action which happens or falls out, or that which is done, told, or proposed. This is the general signification of the word in scriptures. This is the main definition of the word thing in scriptures. It's an event or an action. So if I would talk about the word love, love is a thing. Can you hold love? Is it an object? No, it's an action. But it's still a thing. Second definition is any substance, that which is created. So everything that's made is a thing. Any particular article or commodity. Number three, an animal, as every living thing, every creeping thing in Genesis 1. Number four, it says it could be a portion or a part of something. Wicked men who understand anything of wisdom. Number five, it says, in contempt, I have a thing in prose. Big words there. Or used of a person. A person can be, is a thing. It's created, right? So we're going to talk about excellent things. Superlative, and we're going to go more along with the first definition there. An event or action. That's what we're going to look at. Well, what things would be excellent? If I'm going to think about things, and excellent things in particular, what would make a thing excellent? Well, the first thing I could come up with is it'd have to be a lasting thing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It's going to be excellent. It's going to have to last. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen. That's good.
So we need to look at the lasting things. Now, too many of us get stuck on the things that we can see, right? The things that we can hold.
Yeah.
The things that ultimately ain't going to matter as much as the things we can't touch, right?
Yeah.
We put all of our work into our homes. We put all of our actual physical houses, our properties. We put work in the vehicles, our careers. We build all these things up. We save up for a great retirement that we don't even know if we'll ever see a dime of, or if we'll ever live to attain all that. But look, we look and we put a lot of effort into these things. But it can't be the things we focus on. It can't be the main thing.
Right.
We've got to focus on the things that are not seen.
Yeah,
the things that are eternal. And what are those things? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. There's telling us again, don't worry about these earthly treasures. Don't worry about that pile of money I'm trying to make. Don't worry about that house I'm trying to build as much as I'm worrying about things that are going to last forever.
Amen.
We're not laying up treasures here on earth. We're not supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven. What's the greatest treasure I could take to heaven with me? Somebody else, right? My kids.
Yeah.
My grandkids someday.
That's right.
That's the greatest treasure you could take with you. Those are the things we need to focus on.
Yes, sir.
Next kind of thing I'm wanting to look for is worthy things. Something worthy of being called excellent. Something worthy of my focus. Something worthy of all of our focuses. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I joked with them downstairs this morning. We use these as our memory verse for junior church, and we go through them different ways with the kids to get them the these things to pop up in their minds to be able to remember it a little better. One of the things we do, we have one side of the room stand up and start quoting, and they stop when there's punctuation. And then they sit down, and the other side stands up and reads until they reach punctuation. I told Brother Rick we was using this verse tonight, and I was going to get y'all to do that. But if you notice, there's a lot of punctuation here. So you'd be up, down, up, down. I said, we'd probably have two or three people pass out. We better not do that upstairs. It worked great downstairs, by the way. But we better not try it up here tonight. We're looking at worthy things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Yeah. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what is it? Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. What are we supposed to think about? Things that are true. Pilate asked a man one day, what is truth?
Yeah.
He was standing there looking right at him. Right. Very good, Caleb. He was standing right there looking at... What did Jesus tell Thomas? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. What? All these words, what does it describe? It just describes Jesus. It don't describe me.
Right.
It does not describe me. It describes Jesus. Where do we find these things? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. Right? That's where we find these things. That's where our focus should be, in the Word of God. Let's look at Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now this is what I told you, that I'm not describing me when I say excellent things. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I've been telling you all along we're supposed to focus on excellent things. Were any of those things excellent?
No.
So what should our preacher or any preacher that stands in front of you have to tell you about these things? Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Don't.
Right.
Don't do it. Don't do that. The verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit, these are all excellent things. And if we'd focus on these things, I think things would go a lot better. If we'd focus on love in each other, was anything wrong with that? Would we have very many problems if we just loved each other?
Yeah.
If we just had thought on joy.
Yeah.
Had a big smile on our face. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy.
Right.
If I dwelt on joy, is that going to help me?
Yeah.
Is that going to help you?
Yes.
What about peace?
Yes.
How many of you like turmoil all the time?
No.
Peace.
Yeah.
I should dwell on peace. That's the things I approve of. Excellent things. Long-suffering. What's that word long-suffering mean? I should suffer a long time, right? I should put up with some things, right? How many of you here are perfect? I'm not. Are you? But if I love you, I'm going to put up with you. Right? If you love me, you're going to have to put up with me. You're going to have to put up with some things because I'm not perfect. I'm going to get on your nerves. You're going to get on mine.
Yeah.
We're all going to get on preachers.
Yeah. I'm going to get on your
nerves. Gentleness. I mean, I can't smack you in the mouth. Goodness. We got to be good to each other. Faith. We got to believe. Got to trust, right? Meekness. Meekness. Does that mean weakness? Does that mean being a wimp?
No.
Just because I have the power to do something doesn't mean that I should do it, right? I need to hold that back. Just because I can tell somebody off. Should I?
No.
No. That next word, temperance. There it is again. Temperance. If I display these things, we'd have... If I would display these things, we'd have a lot better time. But if all of us would focus on these things and not the things that don't matter. Temperance. I'm going to have to control my temper. You're going to have to control your temper. Against such, there is no law. These are good things. But let's look back at Philippians 4, 8, and 9, with just verse 9. But those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me and do, the God of peace shall be with you. He said, you've learned about these things. I think I've heard somebody preach about these things before. Where have we heard these things? He preached a whole year on what? Love. We ain't good at it yet. We don't listen. We don't receive it. Why don't we? It's because we're focusing on the wrong things.
Yes, sir. That's good.
We're not thinking about those excellent things that Paul desired the people of Philippi to focus on.
That's good.
If we take these words and hide them in our heart, we'll be a lot better off.
Yes, sir.
I can be around somebody and within 20 minutes of them talking to me, I can tell what they're interested in. Can't you?
Sure.
How can you tell? It's what comes out of them, right? Whatever I'm full of is what pours out, right?
Yes, sir.
If I'm focusing on these excellent things, what's going to come out?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Well, I'm not a very good soul winner. What are you focusing on? Are you full of Jesus? Jesus is going to come out.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I can't teach. Why not? If you're full of wisdom, where do you get wisdom from? If you're full of wisdom, what's going to leak out?
Yeah.
Wisdom.
Good.
These are excellent things, and these are what we're supposed to focus on.
Amen.
The last thing I want to talk about is the most important thing. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This person came and... I mean, it's going to have to be a great thing that I'm going to have to do to earn my way to heaven, right? It's going to have to be a great thing. He knew this. It was going to take a big deal for him to make it to heaven. But what part did he have wrong? Yeah, that I. What thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And the answer to that question, let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, and that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What great thing must I do? It's very simple. It's not a great thing in my part. It was a great thing on his part,
right?
Him coming and being born in this old sinful world, leaving all of heaven behind and being born here on earth as a lowly babe, not in a palace, not with all the grandeur of all this world offers, but in a stable with just lowly shepherds there to come visit him, to leave the angels praising him day and night, to come here to be cursed on, be mocked, persecuted, didn't even have a place to lay his own head. Left a glorious home to come to this old sinful world, to live among us, to live among men, lived perfectly, did many miracles, but then was rejected of his own people, beaten, scorned, spit in his face. How many of you like being spit on? He took it. He took it all. He did this great thing, this excellent thing he did for us. He died on an old rugged cross. And then the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Well, all these things he did, these excellent things that he did it because of that first fruit of the Spirit. Because he loved us. He loved you enough to die for you. Do you know him tonight? Do you have the Son?
Yes, sir.
If you have the Son, you have life. But if you don't, you're on your way to a place called hell. Miss Cheryl, if you got a song. Or Trista. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What things are we dwelling on? Are we worried about all these cares of the world? What's got us weighted down? Our pride? What are we devoting all of our time to? Is it the right things? Is it excellent things? Is it the things of God? Or is it the things that make us look better? Then I'm going to ask, is there anyone here tonight that don't know Jesus? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you're depending on you being good, it's not going to be good enough. I want you to come up front here. Let somebody show you in the Word of God how to be saved. To show you these excellent things and how you can be saved. But anybody want to come forward and have somebody show you in a Bible how to be saved?